Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service today. I invite you to turn in your notebook, the song notebook, to number 12. Number 12. And would you stand? I will join on the piano.
Thank you. Good morning. I invite the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. You notice in the bulletin, bottom of the first page, that this month's offerings are going to a variety of missionaries that we support around the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this new day, for this Lord's Day, this day of rest, that we can enjoy being in each other's fellowship and company, but most importantly, being in your house this morning, gathering as your children, as your church, to worship you, to bless you, to be blessed by you, and listen to your word. And this morning, as we give our tithes and offerings, I pray that that would be an offering of worship also, realizing we're giving back into your hands, Jesus, what you blessed us with. And we pray that you will bless these offerings as you use them around the world for your children, your missionaries. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. There we go. Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for that you are in control, that you are on the throne, Lord God. We just pray that you would guide our thoughts, our actions, our hearts this morning, Lord God, to hear from you. Open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, Lord God, for what you want us to see and hear this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I've been planning on doing something for a little while. Oh, there's children's church this morning. Thanks for the reminder, guys. So I wanted to at some point do a series on the book of Judges. And I wasn't sure when I would do that or exactly how I would do it, but I wasn't really sure what to preach on, so I decided this would be a good time to start. I'm kind of thinking this might take me like a year to get through, or maybe longer, I don't know, and maybe I'll do some things in between, if I feel led, but, so this will be the first in a series on the book of Judges. And, so essentially the book of Judges is really rated R. It's a very violent and sometimes disturbing book. And I think it's a book where we can kind of just gloss over or maybe ignore certain parts of it because it doesn't fit into who we think God is or maybe who we want God to be. And, you know, it doesn't line up with what we're looking for or what we think. So we just kind of maybe ignore parts of it. But I think as we look into this, we're going to see that it all fits in perfectly to who God is. Because the Bible really is a messy book. It's not a book of, you know, rules and guidelines for us to look to, for how to live by. It's not a self-help book for us to look to for motivation. It's not a feel-good story, really, when you break it down, for the most part. But what the Bible is the gospel, which is the good news of God's redemptive plan, and it's His working through messy, disturbing people to work out that plan. So chapter 1, I've titled this message, Can't or Won't. And it's from Judges chapter 1 and the first 5 verses in chapter 2. Chapter 1 basically sets the scene for the whole book of Judges. And also in chapter 21, verse 25, I think kind of really sums up the whole book of Judges, which says, In those days Israel had no king, everyone did as they saw fit. So Judges takes place after Israel had crossed over into the Jordan River, or crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, which God had promised to Moses. Moses had passed on, and Joshua was then leading the people, and he led the people across the Jordan into the promised land. And then Joshua had passed away, and that's where the book of Judges picks up and takes place. So first, if you have your Bibles, I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And while the Israelites had crossed over into the promised land and had occupied many areas, they did not occupy all of the land at the time of the start of the book of Judges. So Deuteronomy 7 verses 1 through 5. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, 7 nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. do not intermarry with them, do not give your daughters to their sons, and do not take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do with them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. So Israel's is supposed to go into the promised land and wipe everyone out. And I think this is one of those things where it kind of seems kind of messy, and where how can we fit God into this box of going and totally wiping out a whole people? But this has nothing to do with political power. It has nothing to do with military or economic power. It's not a move trying to grow in those areas. What this is about Israel wiping out any temptation towards getting involved in or participating or practicing with what they had practiced in that nation prior to them coming in, which essentially is the worship of Baal and Asherah, which the main thing that we know that consists of is prostitution and child sacrifices. So this is about them wiping that out completely, and through that, God is going to show the other nations and the world who He is through His chosen people. But as we'll see as we go through this, Israel's going to fail completely in this area, and they're going to go through a cycle in where they start out, they become complacent, and they fall into sin and, participate and partake in some of these worships that the Canaanites were taking in. So God is going to give them over to oppression from their enemies, and Israel's going to, then they're going to cry out to God for mercy and grace. God's going to hear them, and He's going to bring a leader to deliver them, which are the judges, not judges like we have today, but judges. They're more like tribal leaders or like military leaders that we would have sort of today in leading the people in that way. And as we're going to see as we go through this, these judges, these leaders are going to go from, pretty good to okay to bad to worse. But God will hear them. He'll send a deliverer, and Israel will then experience a time of peace, and eventually that time of peace will lead to complacency, and they'll sin again and continue through the cycle. So this is kind of where we have a little bit of a conundrum, where God made a covenant with His people, His chosen people, but they failed to keep their end of the deal. So what is God to do? He could just, drop His people and forget about them and disregard them, but then what about God's faithfulness to see that through? God would no longer be a God of grace and mercy, but God cannot just accept sin. What of His holiness? He would no longer consist of being holy and righteous if He just ignored that. So God is forced to allow them to suffer the consequences of their sin and the suffering that accompanies that, and wait for them to come to repentance before He can move again. And this is where we meet the crossroad of our sin and the cross, where God poured out His wrath on the cross so that we can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So let's get into chapter 1 of Judges. And I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I'm going to read certain sections. So we'll start at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites?" The Lord answered, "Judah is to go. I have given the land into their hands." Then the men of Judah said to the Simeonites, their brothers, come up with us into the territory allotted to us to fight against the Canaanites. We in turn will go with you into yours. So the Simeonites went with them. Jump to verse 12. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksah in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kareth Sepher, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksah to him in marriage. And then we'll jump to verse 17. Then the men of Judah went with the Simeonites, their brothers, and attacked the Canaanites living in Zephath. And they totally destroyed the city, therefore it was called Hormah. The men of Judah also took Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron, each city with its territory. The Lord was with the men of Judah, and they took possession of the hill country. But they were unable to drive out the people from the plains because they had iron chariots. As Moses had promised, Hebron was given to Caleb, who drove from it the three sons of Anak. The Benjamites, however, failed to dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. To this day, the Jebusites live there with the Benjamites. Now the house of Joseph attacked Bethel, and the Lord was with them. When they sent men to spy out Bethel, formerly called Luz, the spies saw a man coming out of the city, and they said to him, show us how to get into the city, and we will see that you are treated well. So he showed them, and they put the city to the sword, but spared the man and his whole family. Then they went to the land of the Hittites, where he built a city and called it Luz, which is its name to this day. But Manasseh did not drive out the people of Bethshan or Tanakh or Dor or Iblam or Megiddo and their surrounding settlements. For the Canaanites were determined to live in that land. When Israel became strong, they pressed the Canaanites into forced labor, but never drove them out completely. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites living in Gezer, but the Canaanites continued to live there among them. Nor did Zebulun drive out the Canaanites living in Kitron or Nahal, who remained among them, but they did subject them to forced labor. Nor did Asher drive out those living in Aco or Sidon or Ahalab or Aksib or Helbon or Aphek or Rehob. And because of this, the people of Asher lived among the Canaanite inhabitants of the land. We'll stop there because I'm really struggling with some names here. So we'll go over some of this. As I said, this takes place after the death of Joshua, who led them across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And they had conquered certain key areas at that time, but did not conquer all of the Promised Land. And so God is calling them to go out and basically take over the whole land. And if we read through the first, 18 verses of this, we kind of see that happening. And if it would stop there, everything would be okay. But we read in verse 19, and this is the start of it, but they were unable to drive out the people of the plains because they had iron chariots. And it's from there that we go on and we see a progression of things going from okay to bad to worse. And at first glance, I think if we just read through this, we kind of think, okay, Israel is just having a run of bad luck, and maybe we even kind of feel a little sympathetic for them. But chapter 2, enter the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of the land. But you shall break down their altars, yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called that place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. So here we see why Israel failed to drive the people out. We see that they failed to keep their end of the covenant with God that he had made with them. And first I want to point out the significance of the angel of the Lord coming out of Gilgal. So if we go back to Joshua chapter 4, where the Israelites first crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land, Joshua had, I think it was 12 priests take stones from the river, and they brought that up, and they set them up as a monument that was to serve as a sign of what God had done for them in delivering them into the Promised Land. And it was at Gilgal that they set this up. So I think by this angel of the Lord coming out of Gilgal is a way of saying, remember what happened back here. Remember the covenant God made with you. Remember how he delivered you into the Promised Land. So I think that's the significance of him coming out of there and going and approaching the people with this message. So here we see the real reason that the Israelites failed out to drive out the Canaanites, which was their half-hearted discipleship. So if we look back from the very beginning, in his first three verses of chapter 1, we see that the tribe of Judah, God had said, I have given them, they're to go out first and fight. I've given them victory, and they go out, and instead they ask for the Simeonites to come alongside them and help them, even though God had told them, I'm going to give you victory. So here we see them using human logic. You know, more is better. If we go with more men, this is going to be better. We're going to, you know, be more successful, even though God had said he would give them the victory. And in verse 19, we see it again, where they say, we could not drive them out because they had iron chariots. So we see them using, you know, common sense, but faithless sense. And if we contrast that, if we contrast verse 3 with verse 13, we see that Judah, which is a tribe, asking for help to go conquer a land. And in verse 13, we see Othniel, who's the first judge that we'll meet later on, one man going and conquering a whole land. So we see glimpses of true faithfulness here, and half-hearted faithfulness. And this is what can happen to us too, when we only give God half-hearted faithfulness and we use common sense or human logic. We use our own power. We think we need to use our own power to do things that seem impossible. And if it requires complete faith and we don't use that faith, then worry, fear, doubt, those things will come in and creep into our lives and rob us of fear and joy and seeing God move in those ways. And they become thorns in our side, which God said, these people will become thorns in your side. As we see in verse 23, Israel made a treaty with someone there, which in Deuteronomy he had told them to not make a treaty with the people. So this is the start of this downward cycle of these people becoming thorns in their sides. In verse 29, we see that the Canaanites, they allowed the Canaanites to live among them. Once they became strong enough, they moved them into forced labor, but they were still allowing them to live among them. And then in verse 32, we see that not only did the Canaanites live among them, but the Israelites were living among the Canaanites. So they're no longer occupying the land and allowing them in. The Canaanites are occupying the land, and Israel is living among the Canaanites. Verse 19 says, we can't drive them out. We could not drive them out because they had iron chariots. But God is telling them, you won't drive them out. You won't drive them out because you won't keep the covenant I made with you. God had promised to drive them out, but he's saying, I will no longer do that because you will no longer keep the covenant. It's not about that they can't, but that they won't. But I think before we get too hard on the Israelites here, we need to ask ourselves and look at ourselves. Is there areas in our life where we're saying, I can't do this, but God is saying, no, it's that you won't do this. I just can't find time for God right now. My life is just so busy. I want to spend time with God. I want to be involved at the church here, but I'm just so busy and I just can't find time. Joshua 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Is there something that God is calling you to give up or to let go of? And just saying, right now I'm at a point in my life where I need this. I can't let go of this. I'm just not ready to, when I get a little bit older or, when I get reached this point in my life, then maybe, but right now I'm not ready to give that up. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will provide a way out. Well, maybe you're saying, I just can't forgive this person. I can't forgive him or I can't forgive her for what they did to me. There's just no way that I can come to a point of forgiveness here. What about 70 times 7? God called us Peter to forgive 70 times 7. And I did the math on this one time. And over the course of 10 years, that's less than once per week. Now you might, you can go further. Yeah, some of you have been married that long, and maybe you've already surpassed that. But that's not the point. Matthew 6:15 says, if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. So when we say we can't, we're really telling God we won't. When we say we can't find time, we're telling God we won't find time. When we're saying we can't give this up, we're telling God we won't give this up. When we're telling God we can't forgive, we're saying we won't forgive. Where are we telling God that we can't, and we're really saying we won't? With God's help, there is no real I can't. God has promised to never leave us or forsake us. If God is calling you to do something or to give up something, he will give you the strength that you need to see you through that. God has said, do not fear, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What is God calling you to do? Who is God calling you to forgive? Where are you saying, I can't, but God is saying, you won't? And to drive this home, I want to repeat what Todd said last week. What if we gave God the whole box? Or what if we let God out of the box and gave him all of us? We're putting God in a box of who we think he is, who we want him to be. What if we let him out of that box and gave him all of us? Are we willing to trust God with everything? And lastly, what are you scared of? Do we have a song?
I invite you to turn in the Mennonite hymnal to number 577. Number 577. I'm sure some of you may know this one. come. Trust and obey that great fear.
This is our opportunity for prayer and share. If anyone needs the mic.
Good morning. This is Steve. Thank you for your donations to the Brotherhood Fund. I'm going to say that need is met. Of course, the Brotherhood Fund is kind of an ongoing thing, but thank you to everybody that contributed to that. We will take the box away after the service today. Again, thank you for everybody that contributed to that particular need.
This is Darlene. I missed getting in the bulletin that we will have our 6 out of 7 Bible Quizzing for Fun afternoons this afternoon from 2:30 to 4:30. And we are working on Matthew chapters 11 and 12 this afternoon. So you are welcome to that. And also, I had a chance to get together this week with Sandy Johnson. Some of you may remember. She is doing well, I would say, and enjoying her her home in the Willow Street area. She's been attending Willow Street Mennonite Church, and I would say has been doing very well.
This is Darrell. I'd like to highlight the one announcement in the bulletin for the junior youth this Thursday. There's going to be a scavenger hunt type thing, so invite you all to come out that are of that age.
This is Randy. Update on Autumn. They did arrive in Uganda, I think, Friday sometime. It was 2 days of traveling. Everything went well. Every once in a while we get messenger from her, so everything seems to be going well. Just continue to pray for safety and everything. Thank you.
So this coming Saturday actually is we're doing the Fall Fest at Adamstown Park. I mentioned about trying to have a sign-up sheet for that. There is one back there. So we'd be looking for anybody who's willing to help out. If you weren't here before, it's an event that we're kind of doing to provide something sort of contrary to Halloween, in a sense, for the younger kids, but adults are welcome to come as well. We put it out for the community. So it'd be nice to have plenty of help there. If we have more than enough help, then you can just mingle and have fun. Please consider helping out to make that successful. And I guess I'll share this. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but it came to my mind, so I guess I will. There is at Garden Spot, there is a situation where a female identifies as a male and so has been given privilege of using the boys' locker room. And yesterday was Pennsylvania Family Institute banquet, and so my wife and I talked to the one guy from there. So I kind of feel like we're finding ourselves in the middle of that. We can be in prayer for that as well. And the one guy last night, the baker from Colorado, he said people often ask him how they can pray for him, and I think this is what he said. He said, you can pray hard and often. Anyone else have anything?
This is Roxanne. I'm just asking prayer for the Fishers again, and also we are planning as a church to bring a meal once a week to their home to bless them and minister to them. If I haven't tapped you for one meal, I might in the future. So just see if God lays that on your heart to help in that way. Thank you.
Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for who you are. Thank you for interceding in our lives and working on behalf of us and in our prayers that we submit to you, Lord God, even when we don't see those results. We know that you're working everything out for your good. Just want to pray for the families that would be blessed by the Brotherhood Fund, that that would be a blessing to them, and that you would meet the needs there. I just want to pray for those that have been participating in quizzing, both in these recent ones and quizzing in the actual quizzing setting, that you would just plant seeds in their lives, Lord God, that those verses that are memorized, that they would be able to draw on them in times of need, in times of being a blessing to others as well. We just pray, continue to pray for Sandy Johnson. Thank you that she is adjusting to where she's living, and just pray that you would just continue to be at work there. And just pray for the leaders of the junior youth and the youth, and that you would just continue to give them encouragement and strength, help them to guide and direct both the youth and the junior youth as they are the future of our church, Lord God. Thank you for Autumn making it safely, and just pray that you would continue to have your hand of protection over her. Continue to give her courage and confidence and boldness in serving you. We pray for the Fishers, that you would help us to be a blessing to them, whether it's through meals or just being there and being a friend in whatever way we can, Lord God. We pray for wisdom and discernment in all of these areas. We pray for the situation at both Garden Spot and any schools, Lord God. We pray for you to be made known, for your will to be done. We pray for safety and protection over our children, and that your glory would be seen through any and every situation. And we want to pray also for the Fall Festival next Saturday. We pray that that would be a way that we can reach the community and share your love as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand for a benediction? God, we pray that you would just continually remind us, Lord God, that you would never leave us or forsake us, that you will strengthen us, and you will help us, and you will hold us in your righteous right hand. Thank you for who you are, and that you have all the power and all the strength, and we want to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.